a lot of people during the week, and it's just something that comes up all the time, just fear of what's going to happen next, fear of what's the next step, and then onto that, then America and Britain will send out a warning of terrorist attacks just to throw it into your boat and everything that's going on there. Maybe you don't know about it, about shopping malls and tourist attractions in Joburg and Cape Town. They send out warnings. So those are all the things that's happening. But for me, why I just pray that, and I trust that each one will receive something that will stand out for you this morning. I thought about talking about fear, but before I get to the overcoming fear, there's just a book that I've been reading a bit, God's Dreams. And just dreams that God has placed in our hearts and things that He wants to do through our lives. And I was reminded again that God wants to do, He wanted, why we are here is to bring God's glory. That is the first thing. Maybe you're not sure, or sometimes we're just going through life, but each one of us, we are here to bring God's glory, to make His name great. And Romans 11:36 says, "For Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever." So we are all here to make God's name great, to bring Him glory. But then we can ask, how is it going to happen? What is the next step? And the next step is really to do good works. There are some things that God has prepared for us and for us as a church, for you guys, good works that we must do. So, okay, Matthew 5 verse 16, "So in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So the good works is directly linked to the glory that God is going to get, and that's going to happen. But now we know life is busy, there's a lot of things happening, everything has just been added on, and there's primarily three things that keep us from doing these good works, or just from doing the right things. So the one is laziness, or it's busyness, or it's just thorns and thistles, things that just comes up, like my car brake, and then that's at the workshop for a few days, true story, and then you must suddenly arrange a lift and stuff, and it's just a pain in your heart. There's so many things you want to do. You will know, you get out, you wake up in the morning, and the whole kitchen is flooded, there's water everywhere. That is just a thorn and a thistle. It is something that stops your plans, your day, or the geezer. Geezer is always a great example because many people can relate to it, and it's just chaos. So that's a classic example. So you either, there's either a bit of laziness where you can just do more, or you can prioritize your life better, or there's just busyness. You're just running every day, just doing the same thing day in, day out, and you can't stop anywhere. Or these thorns and thistles. But the thing that I realize is, just to add on to all of that, is fear. Is fear that comes into our lives, and fear that comes from different scenarios. And often that is something that really cripples us or holds us back. There's various ways in which fear can manifest in our lives. And this morning I trust that you will just get something out to help us. That we can just look at God's Word and just get something to help us to move past some of the fears that we face in our lives. And fear is just the definition, is just an unpleasant emotion. Often that's where it starts, of a perceived threat. Something, you know, if this is going to happen, then maybe this is going to happen, and then you don't feel so lucky. And you guys will know, those interviews or exams, or somehow in your head you think, what if I don't pass? What if I must do everything over again? What if this happened? What if that happened? What if this happened? What if I don't have enough money? So there's a certain emotion to something. There's a possibility of something that can happen. And that is often, that emotion leads to some sort of action. Or maybe just to nothing. Where we're just in a room and we just sit. And I know I've been there. I'll share some testimonies. But fear manifests when we just see our current circumstances. And we're not able to look beyond that. Or we just see the test that's coming up. We just see the work that I need or the job interview that's coming. And we don't have the ability to see anywhere beyond that. Or we don't have the ability to see, to look around at our circumstances and to realize that actually there's more things to be thankful for. There's actually things that's not so bad. There's often, I know when, especially when things break and you must pay a lot of money towards it. I hate paying money on a car. That's just me. So if a lot of money starts flowing in certain directions, and obviously you start thinking, "What? Wow, is this going to go on? Where is it going to stop? Or is this how it's going to be? What must I put other things in place? How is it going to be a year from now? I try to make all my own plans." And you sort of feel safe when you have put a lot of things in place. And you feel that, okay, now things are better. Just for the next something to happen, or there's a emergency or something, and you realize that, okay, everything is not so in place, it's not so fine, so now I must put a lot of other things in place. So every time we try to manipulate our circumstances to make things better and to remove some of the fear. And I was just reminded about a lot of things in the Word where God will come and He will say, "Don't fear. Don't be so anxious." And I believe if we can really understand that what God is saying to us and understand the Word and make it our own, it will on a very practical level help us just on a day-to-day basis to come against, to overcome these fears in our lives. If I tell my children to walk on the roof and jump, they've got no problem with that. Because they know I love them, they know I told them to do it, and I will catch them. And they're not afraid. There's no fear there. It's something that if I take that away, if I take my love for them away, or my trust that they can trust me, if I take all of that away and they walk up there, they will be very afraid. But because of that relationship, because they understand something of who I am and they can trust me, they do some crazy things. Sometimes they do things that I don't want them to do, but they somehow think that it's a very safe environment and that I'm very strong and can catch them from any height. But I realize that there's a place where if we can understand who God is and how He's in charge of this world and this is His kingdom, there's a place of that we can operate in of, I won't say no fear, but much less fear for our circumstances and for so many things that it's pulling us down, things that's really taking our time. Because I know when anxiety comes, there were exams where I wrote, and then I'd get in my car, and then I just drove as far as I can, as close to a mountain as I can get a car. And then I will sit there and just pray and say, "Lord, I don't know what happened now. But You have to help me here. Because there's money involved. If I don't pass this, then there's a student loan and stuff." And then you start putting everything together. And in the end, it's really a bad situation. Then I can just pray and pray and pray, and eventually I can almost give some of it to the Lord. Just hand over the control. Hand over the outcomes. And say, "Lord, have Your way." And that's a very practical thing that helped me many times. God is saying in Matthew 6, I didn't put all the scriptures up there. And this is Matthew 6:27, or 25. "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, in the body more than clothing? This is Matthew 6. We know that piece of scripture from verse 25 onwards. But we read it in the, I don't know, I sometimes just read these things and then I don't really do anything with it. I read the scripture, but actually we must take it, and when we're anxious, say, Lord, you say, do not be anxious about these things. How is it going to work? What must I do? How can it be so present in my life that I actually do things different? I think different. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And Matthew 6:32, for the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. So there's so many things that God knows about us. He knows the things that we need. He's committed to our lives. There's many things that's on our hearts that we pray about all the time. God knows about it. I remember at Stellenbosch still doing internship. After my studies, did a year of internship for Shofar. During that year, there's two things, yeah, that was really on my mind. Just to find a wife and to find a job. And I said it before, but I prayed a lot about these things. And I thought, man, I don't know how it's going to happen. It is just this battle. And then later on, I decided, okay, I'll pack the speakers. I'll just walk. I'm just going to focus on what I must do. I'm going to pray a few last prayers and just, okay, Lord, make it happen. And especially with work, I was studying computer programming. And if you're out of the business, it's sometimes difficult to just to start programming because the guys want to know, what did you do the last year? Are you up to speed with the things that's changing in the world? Because computers changing all the time. And for me, I just had this knowledge of God told me, this is what I must do. This is the year I did for Shofar. Now I need to find a job. And I said, Lord, you need to open a door. I can't do it. I can't with my CV and my stuff and everything. It's there, but it's not good enough. Sorry. And then there was hope. Some of my friends in the church, they all started working at Mosaic Software. That's what they were called back in the days. And we just decided, okay, we're just all going to apply there. And through amazing things, they wanted you to have an honors. I didn't have an honors at the time. But God opened the door. And I was so aware of the fact that it was God that did it. Nothing that out of my own abilities. And later on, after the year, the guy actually came to me and said, Jakob, we just gave you a chance because we were not sure about you. I said, man, praise the Lord. That's all that I wanted. But I remember those days going to work and thinking about all the things I don't know yet. And it wasn't great because every day I'm just praying, Lord, please let them don't ask this and this and this. I know about this. Let them ask this. Every day. Then they sent me to America after 2 months here. There, 3 months, working on a project that I really don't know much about. So, I said before, that's where Google became a good friend. And I was just praying every day. But the Lord was so faithful, He kept me through all of that. He kept me on the database stuff that I love, and I was able to learn more about it and develop in that area. But I remember those days, and there was nothing I could have done. I was every morning just praying, Lord, help me. They don't ask that, let them ask this. And this, it can be a place of a lot of fear, or it can be a place where you almost settle something in your heart. And I know for some of us, it's more difficult to do. It's just depending on our personality and all kind of stuff and our makeup. It's a lot of things that some things will distract Lee or she will worry about it, and it's not so much for me and other things for me again. For each one of us, we will have our own challenges, our own worries, our own fears. And there's a place where God want to come, and He want to take some of that off your shoulders. And I believe it's a place where we must just be intimate with the Lord. Spend time with Him. I've got so many stories in my life where what I was doing at the time, it didn't, some people agree and some people didn't agree. Especially if you resign from your work, then the father-in-law said, no, yuck. Blue Label Telecoms, that was on the Springboks jersey now. We were working for a subsidiary of Blue Label Telecoms. Big company, doing very well. So at the time, then obviously a lot of people say, no, just stay there. But at the same time, God is speaking to me about other things. But if I allowed, there was a fear. There was a fear of the future. There was a great fear of what is going to happen next. And I had to pray through those things, spend time with God, work through it. It was about 3 months till something just dropped in my spirit and I was just at peace and I can move again. And I just sense that this, that's why I said in the beginning, the good works. We are made to glorify God, to bring Him glory, and these good works that God has prepared for us. But some of those things are going to come, it might be difficult to get there, to press through, just to move past the fears of the unknown and things that we don't know. We all know David and Goliath, 1 Samuel 17. Like Goliath was standing there and shouting to the armies of Israel, and everybody was just in fear. So all these men is there. They all see this guy, and they're all afraid. And David walked in there. He just come from nowhere. He came to bring some food for his brothers, and he walked into the same circumstances, hearing the same messages, but he just had a much different response. Where 1 Samuel 17:23, as he talked with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before. And David heard him. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were much afraid. And they were almost like paralyzed, not willing to do anything. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. I think it was, Saul was just too glad to send someone, I think. Because all his armies, no one wanted to go. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 45, David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And David just put who God is in front of this Philistine, in front of Goliath. And he come with a track record of victories that he's got with God. Victories in the field, when he was alone looking after the sheep, where he killed the lion and the bear. So he had all his testimonies, and he just holds that up. And I believe some of us, we've also got those testimonies, but we forget. Almost like the Israelites going through the desert, and when the circumstances change, when things become difficult, we want to run back to Egypt. Because at least there was food there and water. And somehow we forget about all the other things that we prayed about, all the things that we trusted God to take away, all the breakthroughs we needed at the time. And in all of that, we're not prepared to move forward. We're not prepared to trust God for the next step, for the battle that He's prepared for us. And also for a new victory, a new something that He's prepared. And my prayer this morning is that we can come like David. Because David walked into the same circumstances. And I realize that today, for all of us, we get the same messages from the news. We see a lot of the same things coming our way. People telling us, how are we going to react? What is going to be our response? Are we just going to go the same route? No, I can't go up against this giant. We're just afraid we're running away. Or we say, no, my God, I know my God, the creator of this world. He's in charge. I know my testimony of how God came through for me there. I'm walking with my God. And because of those things that happened, I got to know God. I got to know his faithfulness. I got to know something about him. And I believe that's why we must remind one each other of our testimonies. Just to build us up, but it will also help us to move forward, to overcome. The other classic example of fear is when Peter walked on water. Where the disciples were all in the boat in Matthew 14. They're there. Then they saw Jesus. Obviously, if you're in a boat now today and you saw someone coming through the mist and it looked like a person, then if you don't know about stand-up paddle boards, you might think that this is a ghost or something coming your way. And so the disciples were there and they see him and they say, but when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it is a ghost. They cried out in fear. So they just started, I don't know. You know, men can really shout in weird ways when they're afraid. And immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. Peter is bold, he's ready. If Jesus is doing it, I can do it. And Jesus said, come. So Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, came to Jesus. And there he's in his miracle. He's walking. Everything is happening for him. And then what does he do? He looked around. He started looking, oh, the big waves. He saw the wind. He was afraid. But when he saw the wind, So Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. He saw the circumstances. He saw this. He just moved his eyes from Jesus to everything that's happening around him. And he started sinking. And immediately something came into his heart. Fear came into his heart. And Jesus reached out and said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when he got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Truly you are above all these circumstances, above nature. Truly you are God. In 1933, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he was a pastor or evangelist. He was there in a church in Germany, in Berlin, and he delivered a message about overcoming fear. And it was very similar pieces of scripture that he read. And he was at the time, it was just after the First World War, and a few weeks after that, Hitler, he came on the scene. We all know everything that happened in the Second World War and all of that. And in the midst of all of that, he had a similar message. He actually wrote in Matthew 8, where the disciples is also in the boat, and Jesus is with them. So when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. In Matthew 8:24, and behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he, Jesus, was asleep. And they went and woke him, saying, save us, Lord, we are perishing. And he said to him, why are you afraid? Oh, you are little faith. Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled again. They said, what sort of a man is he that all these things submit to him. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he was also speaking to that church at that time in 1933, and he said to them, God is above all. And we see that actually in Ephesians 4, verse 6, which is one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. It's just God is all in all. God is the Almighty God. And I believe today he's also with us in our boat. But sometimes we start off confidently, we had a good experience, we get a piece of scripture, we get a word, we start running. And then somewhere in the process, we move our eyes from Jesus. Or we forget the word that we've received. So many times guys will tell me that, what's the word that you received? What did the Lord tell you? Because if there's something like that, you can hold on to that and you can run. And you don't have to look at your circumstances. It really helps. And that is what the... And just with the storms and the things that come, we can't... The other side is also true. We can't think that because Jesus is in your boat, there won't be a storm. Because there's so many principalities and powers going on, they don't like Jesus. He's a threat to them. We are a threat to principalities and powers of this world. So often, they're going to come against us. I was just in this week, we got a message from India, where we had our outreach in the Himalayas, and there's a small little girl that she started to follow Jesus. She came back with us from the villages to the church camp. And she was really such an amazing little girl. Her name was Amrita. And Amrita, when we met her, the guy said that she is able to turn a village for the Lord. That's how amazing she is. And some people said that she might even become chief of a village. She will be able to handle it. She's so mature. And you know, there was just something special about Amrita. So Amrita decided to follow Jesus. And she came with us to the church camp. I'll still remember she responded to altar calls. We prayed with her. Something amazing happened in her life. And last week, we got the message that Amrita passed away. Playing in the forest with her friends. Just, they made a seesaw. A wooden seesaw. It broke. She fell. She hit her head. And she died on the spot. It's such bad news. But I just realized that it seems like in those villages and what's happening there, the other guy that was also a believer, he also fell down. It was actually before he accepted Jesus. But it was also a freak accident. He fell, he hit his head, and he's paralyzed. So now that I know some of the guys, they say, if you accept Jesus, you fell, freak accident, hit your head, bad things happen. So there's a major battle in the spirit going on in those villages for the lives of people. And I just realized that sometimes I'm a bit casual with what I've received from the Lord and what I have and what I know. And the word that we had, the Lord told me over and over before we went to India that lives are at stake. We must go. We must go quickly. We must get there. And today I'm so thankful that we were there. That all Chuba and the guys reached out to those villages. And that Amrita was able to hear the gospel before the enemy could snatch her away. And yeah, she was a really amazing girl. And those are just the realities of the times we live in. But we don't have to be afraid. That's what I want to say. Because there's a lot of things that we can, it's easy to allow fear to come in. Often people will ask me, so how did you do that? How did you, so the children are there, how do you plan the finances and everything? And some things I can't plan. Some things just, sometimes things go wrong and things break, but I know there's a place where God's hand is upon my life, and there's certain boundaries. If I operate within those boundaries, there's safety within those boundaries. And I thought about difficult times in my life where I was afraid, and something that stood out for me is I would almost wrestle with God. Just walk into a mountain or climb into my car and just start talking, praying, maybe shouting, crying, whatever. But I had time with God working through this thing. And not always to understand why it's happening, but to get peace in my heart. Or that's usually the end result. Of time where I talk to the Lord, I pray about things, and I will work through it. And sometimes I just repent of my unbelief, repent of the fear that crept into my heart, that I can't trust for my future, or repent of these things about my work or provision for my family, that I allow it to become such a big thing in my life that it takes so much time and so much energy. You know, that's where you have sleepless nights. It's usually connected to some sort of a fear or anxiety. And I realize sometimes I must just repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry that I've entertained these thoughts and I entertained these things more than anything else, more than the promises in your word, more than the messages, more than the scripture you gave me. And I allowed this to come in. But it's not easy. But that's what I would do. I pray, spend time with God, just speak about things, and go on, and just ask the Lord to settle something in my heart. Not always an answer, but to settle something. There's a peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And that's what I trust for. 1 John 4 verse 18 says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. I just took that and then I say, Lord, show me more of your love. Give me a revelation of your love for me. Your love for me that you look out for me, or just your love for me. That I just understand it better. Because I can see it with my children. I can see the things that they will do because they understand something of my love for them. They don't worry about children. They just pitch at home and they say, what are we going to eat? And what's this and that? And they just go on. And that is speaking to me of something about there's an understanding of a love. There's an understanding of a safe place that's there, that's created for them. And I believe in that is a message for us. And that is what I'm trying to do in my own life. I say, Lord, give me a fresh revelation of that love. Help me to understand that in the midst of the battles that I'm going through, because the stuff is very real. In the midst of my anxieties, in the midst of my fears, help me to understand what is your heart? What is happening? How does this all come together? And I know God wants to meet you right there. In your fear and in your situation. He wants to meet you right there. And I've also got things that I'm just praying over and asking God. And lately there's so many things that I don't understand. I say, Lord, but I know you're a loving God. You're an almighty God. And I know this is a place where I must come and spend time with God and ask Him, work through these things that it can settle in my heart. John 16 verse 33 said, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I've overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world. He's overcome the principalities, the powers, and everything. And this morning, we're gonna take communion. And I just want us that we will just, the Bible says we do it as remembrance of what Jesus did for us. It's just a time where we can come and just declare again, Jesus, you died on the cross for me. You've died on the cross for my sins. The word said you come and you give us life and life in abundance. And maybe there's areas in our lives where we need this life to come. We need the life to flow. We're trusting God for those miracles. I'm saying we can do that because God is still in charge. He's still the Almighty God. There's still hope. There's still something to look out for. Still something to pray about. There's a lot of things that I can quickly think about, a lot of stuff that I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to work out. But I can just bring them before God. And not in a weird way or fairy tale stuff. In a very practical, spending time with God and talking to Him. Say, Lord, this is me. This is what's on my heart. Please meet me where I'm at. And I know God want to do that. Jesus want to meet us. You want to meet us right where we are. We don't have to come with a formula or something amazing. We just need to come to Him and to talk to Him. I'm just going to ask Elizabeth, I'm just going to hand out the communion. Almost like in Luke 17 verse 5, it says, the apostle said to the Lord, Lord, increase our faith. Help us to believe again. And that's what I want for us this morning, is we must just ask Jesus again, God, help us to believe again in you. Help us to believe again in who you are. And help me to see you in my circumstances, to see you in my boat, almost. Because we are in a boat and there might be a storm going on right now. So where's Jesus? He's with you. He's with you in that boat. You're not on your own. That night in 1933, when Bonhoeffer was speaking to that church, he said to them, he said, we will be ashamed of ourselves when one day we found out what God can do. He says, we will be ashamed when we find out the power of God. Matthew 10, verse 28, said, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. That fear is just a reverence for God. That's talking about. And we didn't really touch on that. But I pray this morning that as we take communion, that we will be reminded of what Jesus has done for us. And that something will almost light up in our hearts again. Almost as a fire that will just start burning again. But a fire of hope, of faith in God. The disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. Because we are all in this world. We are all in the storms and in the battles of life. There are many things going on, many things that we don't want to talk about, that we still wrestle through, things that we don't understand. I say this morning, bring it all to God. I'm just going to read 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So this morning, I just maybe just go closer to someone, and if you don't want to pray, it's fine. But maybe there's someone in your group, maybe two together or three. I just want us just to take the communion together. Maybe someone in the group can just pray, and as we take the communion, we just remember the bread, God's body that was broken for us, and his blood, the wine that represents the blood. And the blood speaks about life. The blood speaks about when Jesus rose and he overcame death, that there's life. There's a power over death that's available to us. There's life that's available. And I just want to, you can just then in your own words say to the Lord, Lord, this is what I trust you for, or help me with this. I struggled with this, but let us just connect to the Lord again. You're all okay with that? Just to go to someone, and then if you're okay, you just pray together. Also, just do take the communion in your own, in the small groups.
Hello, everyone. My name is Anne, and I just quickly like to share a short testimony. As Jaco was speaking, I felt God prompting me, or actually just reminding me of this part of my life. So I'm just going to share that with you. I was 27 years old when God said to me, I must go study to become a teacher. So that was the first challenge. Going back to school is challenging when you've been working for quite a while. And the second thing that God said to me was, I'm going to do it full time, so I'm not going to be working and supporting myself and paying for my studies and studying altogether. I must rely on Him totally for my provision. And that was extremely challenging for me because my parents didn't have the means to support me at all. And God said, just said to me, trust me, I'm going to take care of you. So off I went, I applied, I got the registration money, and I didn't have any books, I didn't have any class money, nothing. I didn't even have a place to stay, and somehow God miraculously just got these things together for me. I landed up living in a house with two Christian girls, which is what I asked God for, and I found out there was like a bursary that you could apply for. And I applied for the bursary, and everybody was telling me it's like a done deal. You are going to get the bursary. Everybody gets the bursary for being a teacher. It's like this thing. And I applied, and nothing happened. And January went by, and February went by, and March went by, and the girl I'm renting from is like, well, have you heard anything? You're like 3 months behind on rent. What's going to happen here? And there was like, oh, not a very nice feeling to have. And I went to go see the dean, and he said to me, we're so sorry that nobody has told you this, but they're having financial issues at head office, and only 3 people on our campus got the bursary, and you're not one of it, sorry. And I was crying when I walked home that day, and I just said to God, but why? You said you're going to provide for me. And He said, yes, Anne, but who are you trusting in? Are you trusting in the bursary? Or are you trusting in me? And I had to really repent because I was fearful, actually, at that time. I was fearful because, oh my gosh, I've got all these expenses and I couldn't do anything. And I repented and I said, God, I know that you can provide for me. You've done it in the past and you can do it again. And just that change in perspective and in where I put my trust really opened up lots of things for me. I had decided that I wouldn't ever ask my parents for money they could give me when they had something. And so one day it was my turn to buy electricity, and I had 10 rand in my pocket. And the other 2 girls had already bought electricity for the month. And I was walking to the store and I'm like, well, God, I've got 10 rand, but it's not going to cut it quite much. And I was eating an apple and this apple just wouldn't get finished. And I was eating the apple and I was eating the apple and standing outside of Pick and Pay finishing the apple. And by the time I finished the apple, I got a SMS showing that somebody had paid into my account the exact amount of money necessary for me to pay electricity for that month. And things like that started happening. And after a while, somebody, I don't know who, started paying my monthly rent. One of my friends, she's a mom, she has three kids now, but then she had just had one little boy. And she looked at me that winter, it was very cold, it was like -2 degrees in Wellington. And she's like, "Your feet must be cold, you're just wearing pumps." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm wearing pumps." And she gave me a pair of her shoes, very, very grand boots. And I'm like, okay, this is a little embarrassing. And then I thought, no, this is God's provision in my life. And things like that started happening. And whenever I needed something, I knew that I couldn't provide for myself. I had to run to God because He is the provider. And I can tell you, throughout my studies, my circumstances did not change. I didn't get a job somewhere. My parents didn't miraculously get more money or anything like that. But I was always taken care of. And there's this one scripture. Can't remember what the reference is, but it's in the Psalms. And it says something like this. I once was young and now I'm old, but never have I seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. And I really stood on that promise of God that He is bigger than my need. And whatever fear that I had in the past of not being taken care of being homeless, of being hungry, because, yeah, I didn't even explain that previously, but that was my reality. At one stage, we didn't have a house to stay in. At one stage, we were hungry. And so I had all these experiences in my past that were jutting inside my head. And God was just saying that He's bigger than all of that. So that's, let's just pray. Thank you, Father God, that You are bigger than our circumstances. Thank you, Father God, that You are faithful. Thank you that You are not a man that You can lie. Thank you, Father God, that there is absolutely no shadow of turning in You. Thank you that Your character is stable and that we can stand on Your word, which is true in our lives, Father. And thank You that when You say You love us, that You really mean it. And that when You say jump, we don't have to be afraid that we're going to go splat on the ground, but that You're going to catch us. And thank You, Father God, for faith, Lord, that we can have in You and that we can know that it's justified. Thank You, Lord, that You are looking after Your children and that You love us and that You will take care of every one of our needs. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. I just want us to stand. We're just going to finish with a song. And maybe today is just the beginning again of God just starting to do something in your heart. Or maybe there's some areas that's really difficult, something in your life. Then today can be that first steps. Just connecting with God again and asking Him for the answers. Let's just sing together. And then afterwards, I will also be here. Maybe you want to pray with someone and we can agree upon something or pray for a breakthrough or something specific. Please come. You're welcome.